And in Baghdad, it's been quite a day. Crowds of Iraqi men in Baghdad kicking and then setting on fire a poster of Saddam Hussein, a scene unimaginable just 24 hours ago.
Saddam Hussein's rule in Baghdad has collapsed. Thousands of U.S. troops swept into the city today.
Here in Washington, U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said, quote, "We are watching history unfolding, events that will shape the fate of a people and potentially the future of the region."
Saddam Hussein is now taking his rightful place alongside Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Ceausescu in the pantheon of failed, brutal dictators. And the Iraqi people are well on their way to freedom.
In Baghdad, crowds welcomed the American forces as they rumbled through the city streets. NPR's Anne Garrels was there watching and listening as the spectacle unfolded.
The day started with an uneasy quiet. The streets were deserted. In neighborhood after neighborhood, the Ba'ath Party members, steely-eyed security, and police had evaporated. Iraqi troops had fled their sandbag trenches. Under a bridge, surface-to-air missiles were left unmanned. An army jacket and a pair of military boots lay strewn across an intersection. No one knew the fate of Saddam Hussein, but suddenly it didn't matter. Even before the American troops entered the center, largely unopposed, a wave of looting spread. Groups of young men broke into government buildings and warehouses, taking everything that wasn't nailed down and then some. Chairs, air conditioners, computers, even doors. Cars were removed from government parking lots, pushed or pulled because the looters couldn't get them started. Teenagers bounced new tires down a boulevard past the Olympic headquarters, which looters had apparently set ablaze. This building was one of the symbols of Saddam's brutality. It was here his eldest son, Uday, tortured disappointing athletes, or those who merely displeased him. Outside the oil ministry, a young man stood in front of a statue of Saddam, imitating his grand gesture. A friend snapped the photo. Such a lark would have cost him his life just yesterday. As a column of Marines moved through Saddam City, a poor, predominantly Shiite Muslim area, they were greeted with plastic flowers and cheers of welcome, welcome. People danced in the streets, waving rifles and defaced posters of the great leader. Tongues were suddenly unleashed. Shiites packed the Al-Moksin Mosque, which had been closed ever since Saddam's agents murdered a much-beloved imam 3 years ago. Sheikh Amr al-Munshadawi told the rapt audience Saddam Hussein had betrayed Islam. He spoke of 30 years of oppression, but he urged Muslims to save the country now, not loot and destroy it. He said nothing about the Americans passing by just outside. 54-year-old Hasib Nouri, a taxi driver, tossed his shoes at a statue of Saddam, a deeply insulting gesture in the Arab world. "We were surrounded by fear," he said. "Even fathers and sons were afraid to speak openly to each other." He recalled a friend, Fadal Mahmoud, who was arrested in 1978 and has never been heard from since. "Thank you, America," he said, "for removing this dictator." He then joined a crowd which tried to pull down the statue. Marines posted nearby tied a rope to one of their tanks and finished the job for them. But tearing down statues, as the Soviets once saw, is easy. Filling the vacuum will be much more difficult. Dr. Saad Jawad, an Iraqi political scientist, watched sadly as the Marines helped topple Saddam, calling the scene humiliating. No fan of Saddam Hussein, he nonetheless warned of wounded pride. He acknowledged now Americans are here, they must be in full control. But he said that control will quickly be resented. Another Iraqi man in his 40s just wept. Though he too hated Saddam, he said seeing American troops in Baghdad was more than he could bear. At dusk, a group of men sat outside their shuttered shops, hoping to deter looters. They were in shock at the sudden collapse of the government. "I've never known freedom," said 33-year-old Ali al-Obeidi. "We want a just government, but we want a just Iraqi government," he added. Asked if they could name Iraqis they would like to lead them, these men all shook their heads. "That's the problem," they said. "The Iraqi opposition in exile, which has been courted by the U.S., inspires no confidence. Each of them wants power for himself," they agreed. "And they all fear paroxysms of revenge as scores are settled." Marines who came to the Palestine Hotel, where most of the foreign journalists are housed, were asked by anxious Iraqis if they would restore order on the streets. They said their job now remained a military one. And by nightfall, the sporadic sounds of fighting were a vivid reminder this is far from over. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.